This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day when one of America's great institutions, beloved by generations of children and their parents. I'm talking about Sesame Street, which, by the way, has taken over a great deal of the world in terms of children's programming, where they have versions of Sesame Street or shows based on Sesame Street that have cropped up almost everywhere. Sesame Street is undertaking a new initiative, and it's actually produced some hostile reactions, even from people who have been very big fans of the show in the past. We will get to that. We will also take a look at some of the aspects of Joe Biden's press conference that nobody got a chance to ask about. And Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post will be joining us. She's actually written a powerful piece that says chaos at the border was predictable. So why wasn't President Biden prepared? 1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. And let me go first to the Sesame Street story, because as NBC News reports it, Sesame Street is introducing two new Muppets, a black father and son, as part of an effort to help children understand racial literacy. And that sounds lovely. I mean, why not have a black father and son who are part of the Muppet family? They have Muppets in so many other colors. I mean, why not a father and son who are African-American or black? The two Muppets are known as Wes and Elijah. They were introduced in a short video created by Sesame Workshop, the nonprofit educational organization behind the long-running show. In the video, Elmo wants to know why Wes's skin is brown. So his father, Elijah, explains the concept of melanin and how the color of our skin is an important part of who we are. That, according to a press release from Sesame Workshop. The two black characters who talk with Elmo about race sound like this in the video released by the children's program. This is clip 3.
Elmo wants to know why Wes's skin is brown.
Oh, I know why, Elmo. My mom and dad told me. It's because of melanin. Right, Dad?
That's right.
Melanin? What's that?
Melanin is something that we each have inside our bodies that make the outside of our bodies the skin color that it is. It also gives us our eye and our hair color.
Oh, and our skin color?
Yes, that's right. Exactly, Elmo.
Oh, but if we all have melanin, why are we different colors? Like, why is Mr. Elijah's skin a darker brown than Wes's skin?
Oh, that's a good question, Elmo. Well, it's because the more melanin you have, the darker your skin looks.
Ah.
The color of our skin is an important part of who we are. But we should all know that it's okay that we all look different in so very many ways.
Oh, well, how much fur is red and soft?
Well, and my hair is black and curly.
Things on the outside, like our skin color, our hair texture, our noses, our mouths and eyes, make us who we are. Many people call this race. But even though we look different, we're all part of the human race.
Isn't it cool, Elmo?
Very cool.
Okay, does that bother you in some way? There are some conservatives who are deeply troubled by it. I'm not. Sorry. It seems to me that this is not critical race theory. Now, I don't know what the rest of this initiative is going to put forward, but Rod Dreher who writes for the American Conservative, has written this hand-wringing piece that I just don't even know how to respond to it. He begins, "This makes me really sad, and I'm not kidding or exaggerating, let me explain." And he talks about growing up in the South and not really knowing any black people. He says, "Though our parish, our county in Louisiana, was half black and half white, until I started elementary school, I lived in a world that was de facto segregated. The interesting thing to me now is that I can't recall anybody ever teaching me about white supremacy or why segregation was a good thing or any of it. Maybe some white parents did teach that to their kids, but mine didn't." In any event, he goes on, "Sesame Street was not like where I lived. It was a place where color didn't matter. Smithsonian Magazine writes about how the show was designed to be like that. Back when the show was less entrenched in popular culture, Sesame Street had its critics, but the theme of Sesame Street was all that race didn't matter." And he then writes, "I hadn't realized how deeply the new progressive racial obsession bothered me until I saw that clip above." We're talking about the same clip that we just played for you. "And we realized that woke Sesame Street is now setting out to make all the work that had been accomplished in the generations the show catechized. You know who taught my generation of children to see color? White people who longed for segregation's return, and black people who lived in fear of white people who longed for segregation's return. Now kids can get that from Sesame Street." That's incredibly hostile. And it seems to me off the mark, because what you're talking about here is explaining melanin and that people look different. Little kids notice that they do. And the idea that Sesame Street is trying to present in such a positive way, with a very positive black father and son, seems to me entirely admirable and appropriate. If you disagree, by the way, and you're bothered by what you just heard, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. In the past, Sesame Street has also drawn a certain amount of controversy for handling race, but here's a song called "The Skin I'm In," which debuted on the show in 1971. It's sung by a black character named Baby Ray Franklin, who's a younger brother to another black character, Roosevelt Franklin. Listen, that's clip two.
"If you've never seen my kind, I wonder where you have been. A lot of people have my kind of skin. You know I love the skin I'm in. That's right. Way, way back in the old days, we used to be ashamed, imagine that. But then we found out we were beautiful, and we've never been the same. Black is a fact, there is no taking it back. I wonder if you understand. I know you can see, I'm happy to be a bright-eyed, smart, tough, black young man. Now you see, Mary Frances, Baby Ray loves the skin he's in, and so should everybody else, because there are different kinds of skin and different kinds of people."
Okay, this sounds exactly like, that's from 1971. It's a very similar emphasis to what we're getting in this new initiative. Rod Dreher, an American conservative, I don't know what he is so upset about. I don't know why anyone should find a controversy here. But there's certainly controversy regarding a White House statement yesterday. A statement by Megan Rapinoe. Great piece in National Review. Is Megan Rapinoe a victim? Outstanding soccer player, multimillionaire. Why is she victimized? We'll get to that and more coming up on The MedVet Show.
Your outlet for outrage.
It is outrageous what you are saying.
The Michael Medved Show.
This is outrageous.
questions. Are religion and science constantly, inevitably at war? Can science provide evidence for God? New York Times bestselling author Stephen Meyer, he's a philosopher of science. He has written The Return of the God Hypothesis, three scientific discoveries that revealed the mind behind the universe. There's a special offer for MedVed listeners, free excerpt from the book, free digital booklet on intelligent design, a discount on Dr. Meyer's online course, an invitation to an exclusive online meeting with Dr. Stephen Meyer. And amazingly, this new book, The Return of the God Hypothesis, has just been endorsed by a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Dr. Brian Josephson, and many other prominent scientists. You can read about it, find out all about it, when you go to discovery.org/MedVed for a special offer you don't want to miss. discovery.org/MedVed. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I'm only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
God help me, I'm addicted to
The Michael Medved Show.
And on The Michael Medved Show, there are a couple of emails that have come in the last couple of days that deserve particular attention. One of them, because I think it's particularly brilliant, challenging, and interesting, and the other of which I take great issue with. But they both deserve attention. First came in from Tampa Bay, and it was from Matt. And Let us go to, we'll get to this email in just a moment. Before we get there, I wanted to go to a caller in L.A., Glenn, who disagrees about Sesame Street and the handling of race. Glenn, go ahead. You're on the MedVed Show.
Hi, Michael. Hey, first of all, I love your show. I always have, and it's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you. It's kind of you to say so.
Hey, Michael, I think that that clip would be great until they get to the point that your skin color is an important part of who you are. I think that is the basis of racism. I think that is the opposite of what we should be teaching, and frankly, it's the opposite, or it should be the opposite of reality. My skin color should be the least important thing about me, and so the fact that we're moving in that direction, that people are considering their race more and more important, I think is causing a greater wedge, or maybe more racism.
I agree with you about making racial identity the center of your identity. I think that's terribly destructive. It's destructive for white supremacists. It's destructive, frankly, for black supremacists. It's destructive for anybody if that's the most important thing about you. But they hedge that, I think, very effectively in Sesame Street, saying we've got to remember that what really counts is inside. And what they were really addressing is something that anybody who's raised little kids deals with. At some point or another, people recognize that there are people who are our neighbors, who are our friends, who just look different. And how do you deal with that? Other than acknowledging that, sure, people look different. And that can be an indication that's very important to you, but we're all the same inside. And that, I think, is what Sesame Street was trying to say in 1971 and what they're trying to say in 2021. I think they're right both times. But where did you see?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's from the way I see it, they're hedging that perspective with the fact or with the idea that our race is an important part of who we are. I think that's where we get into dangerous territory. That's where I think, I would hope, that's the point that most conservatives would differ with.
Let me tell you, it's one of those things that people would shoot back at you and they'd say, look, for white people, you have the luxury of either identifying strongly with a specific ethnic group, whether that's Jewish people or Latino people. The majority of Latino people identify as white. Or if you want to say you're Asian American or mixed race, you can identify any way you want to. But what we're talking about is something where you understand that skin color has mandated a very different history for black Americans than for white Americans, or frankly, from all other kinds of Americans. Would you not acknowledge that?
I totally agree with that. It's the idea that race is an important part of anything that is the basis.
Well, wait. Let me ask you this, Glenn. Is race an important part of history for anyone who's black?
It is. It's,
okay,
course,
so that's what they're acknowledging.
Part of history. I disagree. That's a different question.
They're not saying that race is an important part of everything. They're saying it's an important part of who I am. And if your history and your family's history and the experience of your people is not an important part of who you are, then you're disconnected from your own past. And it seems to me that in between the idea of saying race is everything, it's all about race, And the idea of saying that, well, race is invisible, it doesn't matter, we already live in a perfectly colorblind, beyond race society, maybe we will someday, but I still think people will be concerned about things like family history and heritage and identity. I appreciate your call. I mentioned before a note that came in from Matt in Tampa Bay. And Matt says, you asked on your Wednesday show why media focus on the two recent shootings as opposed to other recent shootings. The reason is the indiscriminate nature of the shootings. In most shootings, there's some kind of struggle or squabble between the victims and the perpetrator. Media latch on to random shootings for two reasons. By the way, it's really not true that there's some kind of struggle in most mass shootings. I mean, most mass shootings is unarmed, innocent victims and one shooter. He says media latch on to random shootings for two reasons. The first is that everybody always tries to make sense of it. Our culture is fascinated with this. Look at all the recent popular shows and movies about serial killers. And the second reason is that it instills fear. This can happen to anyone who so much as walks into a grocery store. Fear gets ratings. Michael, I have a serious proposition, writes Matt. A media blackout on disclosing any information about these killers. Every time this happens, we dig into the killer's past and basically psychoanalyze him. They don't deserve this attention. Serious question. Why do cameras avert streakers at a sporting event? Answer, to discourage future streakers. Do we care more about stopping future streakers than stopping future murderers? And do the networks avoid showing a streaker on their own will? I honestly don't know. It seems only Congress could do this since there's no shame in cable news. Well, if you believe in the First Amendment, if you believe in the freedom to run a network your own way, I don't think you can control how or the extent to which the mass shootings are covered. I do think that these two have been way over-covered because of the imputation of the Atlanta shootings, which came first, and trying to make a whole issue of the allegation of an increasing tidal wave of anti-Asian immigration. And in terms of the follow-up, because it was so close to the Atlanta shooting, there had to be a lot of follow-up, and the guy had taken all his clothes off except for his boxer shorts, and the killings were particularly horrific in the middle of a supermarket in the middle of the day. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show with Karen Tumulty of the Washington Post.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Joe Biden took questions in a formal press briefing setting for the first time during his White House tenure, fielding questions about the illegal immigrant crisis at the border and whether to support abolishing the Senate filibuster.
It used to be you had to stand there and talk and talk and talk and talk until you collapsed. And guess what? People got tired of talking and tired of collapsing. We were able to break the filibuster, get a quorum, and vote.
Filibuster is a tactic in the U.S. Senate that allows for endless debate to stall legislation by keeping the chamber from voting on it. The number of people seeking unemployment benefits fell sharply last week to 684,000, the fewest since the pandemic erupted last year, and a sign that the economy is improving. Last week, 781,000 people filed for first-time claims. USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
And we'll be speaking to Karen Tumulty coming up. She's a veteran correspondent, congressional correspondent, White House correspondent, with her reaction to the Biden press conference. And the answer to her question, why were they unprepared for the chaos at the border? I've also mentioned that another email came in that was an angry email. And I hope the listener is listening. It's Molly in Bellevue. And Molly in Bellevue, Washington writes in, I've listened to your show for years and often ask myself why. Well, I hope you're listening today. She says, the question is, how could someone have so much dislike for others? Your belief that if you differ, you're dumb is immature, ignorant, and idiotic. I'll just read the rest of the note in its entirety before I respond. But no, I don't agree that it's immature, ignorant, and idiotic. She says, here's a short list of groups you oppose. Homeless, Native Americans, marijuana users, drug addicts, Canadians, rappers, and non-believers. The white privilege, your demeaning nature, abusive language, and overall destructive attitude is in need of a major correction. Try kindness instead of cruelty. Here's a challenge. Can you say a single nice thing about one of these groups? For starters, try complimenting a marijuana user. Or if you pass a person without a home, give them cash, not a kick in the face. So says Molly in Bellevue. Look, I have in the past, yes, I have given some money to people without a home. And I've always come to regret it because I believe that's a terrible mistake. I believe that's making their problems worse, not helping them. Because helping people live on the street isn't good for them. It doesn't show love for homeless people. It shows something different, which is pity, which often comes along with contempt. And no, that's not what I feel. And then she says, and compliment a marijuana user. I compliment marijuana users all the time. And because it is so common today, what I don't agree with here, and this whole list she puts together. She says, here's a short list of groups you oppose. What you could really write about here is, here's a short list of behaviors or ideas you oppose. Because, see, I don't see homeless, marijuana users, drug addicts, rappers, and non-believers as groups. It's not like, oh, I was born a marijuana user. I was born a homeless person. Now, you could say I was born a Native American, but again, it's what I oppose is not Native Americans. And as a matter of fact, yes, I would have voted yes to confirm Deborah Holland as our first ever Native American cabinet member. But there is this, Molly, that what I don't favor and what I do oppose is some of the lies that are told in behalf of glorifying and elevating Native American societies as superior to every other form of civilization. It simply isn't true. And it is not true that there was genocide, deliberate genocide, mass killing committed by the European settlers to the New World. And I've written about this extensively in my book, 10 Big Lies About America. The first one is the lie about genocide against Native Americans. But that doesn't mean that I oppose Native Americans as a group. And as to Canadians, what you're talking about is we have a feature from time to time. I don't oppose Canadians as a group. One of the political leaders I admire most of recent years is the former Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper. What I oppose is a Canadian attitude that sometimes sees their country as vastly, incalculably better than America. And there is a certain anti-Americanism that sometimes creeps into Canadian culture. And as to drug addicts, marijuana users, homeless people, non-believers, I don't think non-believers are groups that I don't oppose them as a group, but I do favor the arguments for belief, which I think are better, and which I think lead to better outcomes for individuals who fasten on to belief. Now, trying to say nice things about people in various groups, sure, try to do that all the time, as a matter of fact. But that's different from saying nice things about every kind of behavior or every kind of claim. And to go to a for instance, yesterday we played a little bit of Megan Rapinoe from the White House. And what I did make clear was she was appearing together with the President of the United States. And here is what Megan Rapinoe said when she was appearing with Joe and Jill Biden to demand what is called pay equity. This is clip 9. Listen.
I'm a member of the LGBTQ community with pink hair. And where I come from, I could have only dreamed that I would be standing in the position I am today at the White House. I'm also a professional athlete, and I've helped, along with all of my teammates virtually here today, one teammate literally here today, win 4 World Cup championships and 4 Olympic gold medals for the United States. And despite those wins, I've been devalued, I've been disrespected, and dismissed because I am a woman. And I've been told that I don't deserve any more than less because I am a woman. You see, despite all the wins, I'm still paid less than men who do the same job that I do. For each trophy, of which there are many, And for each win, for each tie, and for each time that we play, it's less.
Okay, this is ridiculous, of course. There's a great point that is made in a fine piece that I want to post to our website. It's under the heading, Is Megan Rapinoe a Victim? It's by John Hirschhauer, and it's at National Review. And boy, is he ever right, because what he writes about is the U.S. women's national soccer team sues, and it's a $66 million lawsuit, alleging pay discrimination that doesn't exist. And the basic point in the entire thing is that the laws against pay discrimination are supposed to say you can't discriminate against someone based on gender if they are doing the same job and displaying the same level of skill. But nobody could claim that. If Megan Rapinoe wanted to compete in the men's league against some of those men's teams that were less successful, can you imagine? That would get so much attention. It would be a huge moneymaker. She could probably get big bucks for that, but she won't do that because she knows the level of play is different because of biological differences between males and females. And this is not discrimination against her because she's LGBTQ. It is not discrimination against her because she's a woman. It's a recognition that men and women are not the same. And keeping the soccer teams separate allows women like Megan Rapinoe to become world famous and to become extremely rich and to be incredibly well paid for what she does. If anyone has any doubts about that, please read this piece. It's posted up at michaelmedved.com. Coming up, Karen Tumulty, why wasn't the Biden team ready? That from the Washington Post. Coming right up.
Very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again. And I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. As the nation pivots from the Trump administration to the reality of the Biden administration, Americans seem divided as never before. What does our country even believe in common anymore? One organization that continues to stand for what America has always believed is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. This institute stands for the first things, the permanent things, for religious liberty, for freedom of conscience, for family, for limited government, for free markets, for our nation's Judeo-Christian heritage. Go to the website faithandfreedom.com, and you will see insightful, bold opinion pieces from the renowned faculty at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. See Mark Hendrickson's latest on GameStop, Wall Street, and the hedge fund manager. See John Sparks and former Deputy Attorney General Paul McNulty on impeachment. And take a look at our friend Paul Kanger's articles and speeches. There are lots of them. You can find all this and much more at the website of the Institute for Faith and Freedom. That's faithandfreedom.com. Again, faithandfreedom.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life.
I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
On the MedVed Show, an honor to be joined by Karen Tumulty, who is a columnist for the Washington Post. She served as a national political correspondent for the Post. Before that, 15 years with Time magazine. She is one of the most respected political reporters in the business. And her most recent column is a column that should have come up at the press conference, but it didn't. The headline, Chaos at the Border, was predictable, so why wasn't Biden prepared? Karen, were you a little bit surprised that that question about the preparation of the Biden administration for what's happened, that question didn't seem to come up today, did it?
Well, it came up indirectly. You know, the president indicated that he's getting pretty impatient, that they need to get this straightened out, or, as he put it, some people basically aren't going to have their jobs. But I do think that, you know, there are, first of all, you know, people are conflating exactly what is going on down there. And the real issue here is unaccompanied children and teenagers who are showing up and are really overwhelming the facilities that are down there. Now, this you can, you know, blame on his predecessor, which he is doing, but it really goes back to a problem that goes back as far as the Obama administration, and that is that the patterns of migration have really changed in the last decade. It used to be that you would get primarily young males from Mexico coming up for work, single males, and so their goal was to avoid the Border Patrol, avoid detection. Now what you see is that the majority are people from Central America, and they actually want to turn themselves in so that they can appeal for asylum. So what I really don't understand is why the system has not adjusted to the newer realities of what is going on in this region.
I think that's a brilliant and important point. What would an appropriate adjustment be?
I think you would absolutely start with, you know, expanding the asylum procedures, meaning getting a lot more judges in there, getting, getting people to the point where you don't have to wait for literally for years to have your asylum petition adjudicated. And also, they just need more facilities than they have to handle these, especially unaccompanied children who show up. And the law is they shouldn't be in Border Patrol custody for more than 72 hours, and yet you look at those facilities down there, you know, often shorthand is children in cages, but you see all these kids with these kind of foil blankets around them jammed into these holding facilities. It is just not, you know, where, you know, how we should be treating children. And this seems to me to be a, you know, it's a problem of putting the right resources in the right places.
One of the problems, and it's always been a problem with trying to grapple with the immigration issue, is that I think there's a very wide sympathy for some of the kids who've walked hundreds of miles, in many cases, from Central America and are trying to reunite with their parents. If we just go ahead and admit those children into the United States and help them find homes and help them find a new life, doesn't that encourage literally hundreds of thousands of more kids to make this dangerous trek?
Well, absolutely. And when you have, you know, the region, we know about the gang violence down there. We know about, you know, the economic conditions. The region has been hit by two major hurricanes in the last year. So there's a lot of, you know, other things that are driving them up here as well. And if you want to talk really, really long term, and this is the conversation that I think people don't want to have, which would be, I hate to use the term nation building, but, you know, addressing the conditions in Central America that are making people so desperate.
Yeah, and it's been horrible conditions for a long time. I know that we had a TPS program here in the United States, temporary protected status, that was granted to refugees from the truly nightmarish El Salvador civil war that went on and on and claimed hundreds of thousands of victims, innocent people, non-combatants. What do you do about those failed states? Because the point that you make in your column, and it's very important, is while Mexico has been moving in a direction where people are encouraged to stay in Mexico, doesn't look like we've made comparable progress at all in Central America, have we?
No, and for the last, you know, close to a decade, the majority of migrants are in fact coming from what they call the Northern Triangle countries in Central America. So the other thing is that our immigration system is so inflexible. It really should be, you know, flexible enough to adjust to changing economic conditions. You know, sometimes this country, because of what's going on in our economy, you know, we need more workers at some points and less workers at others. And the same is also true of the economies and the demographics in Latin America.
No, sure. And again, in terms of adjusting the immigration system to prioritize people who have the skills that we need, the Biden administration has actually talked about doing something to allow more seasonal farm workers, right? And to put that situation in order, which probably would be politically very popular, no?
You know, but the thing is, the minute you say immigration, it really does kind of set off so many alarm bells. And one of my formative experiences moving to Washington in the 1980s, I covered California issues for the Los Angeles Times. So I spent, you know, years covering the passage of the immigration bill in 1986. And to me, the environment, and again, this was something Ronald Reagan was pushing, and he was not afraid of the word amnesty. Just the political environment around this is so different than it was then. And I really do wonder if it's even possible to have a rational conversation anymore around immigration.
Okay, so if assuming that President Biden wants to have at least a rational conversation, if not some kind of sweeping, massive correction to our broken immigration system, what are the first two things he ought to do?
The first two things that he ought to do? You know, I think that there is going to have to be a recognition of a border security piece of this, because that's the only Absolutely. Thing where you're even going to have a chance of getting any Republicans on board. But I really do see, I do have trouble, and I am not necessarily a fan of completely getting rid of the filibuster, but I do think it's going to be just hard to get around the Senate.
And but that doesn't answer what he actually should do. He can't do it by executive order. I mean, we've had too many executive orders under Obama, far too many under Trump, and a lot too many under Biden so far, it seems to me. Could we at least do something for the so-called Dreamers? That would seem to be possible, no?
Oh, absolutely. And that is actually, you know, quite popular when you look at the polling
yes.
numbers on it. Because these are just incredibly sympathetic people. I mean, they are in this country through absolutely no fault of their own. They are part of the communities in which they live. They are basically Americans in everything but citizenship.
Yes, it doesn't seem to me that it's really a sign of patriotism at all to say to people who will do anything, who want to become Americans and want to identify as Americans, it doesn't seem to me to be a wise thing at all to tell them no, never, no way, not possible. Karen Tumulty of The Washington Post, appreciate your conversation. One of the ideas that I would like to continue to explore is the idea of emphasizing not just immigration, but Americanization. How is it that you make America the great melting pot again, where we all become proud citizens together, Americans who are delighted and grateful to live in the greatest nation on God's green earth?
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. 800-633-1378. That's 800-633-1378.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.